In your worship bulletin, you'll notice an area in the middle here called Scripture Surfing. And we want to have a few readings from this. This is just your individual reading. This is for you to take with you. This is an offering for you, a way for you to just spend time with the Lord alone in His Word. And as you do this, you'll go through the whole of His Word and not miss anything. And so keep this, and this week you can go through and be reading through His Word and allow Him to speak to you. And it's a great thing to journal and take notes, and whatever He's telling you, get that down so you can pray it in. But anyway, we want to have some readings from this past week's Scripture Surfing. So from this past Thursday and Friday's readings, let's have a few. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible next to you there. And Deuteronomy is the fifth book. You'll see Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Then you'll find it. Deuteronomy, turn to chapter 30 and hold your place there. It's called Scripture Surfing because we're just going to have some readings from each of these chapters right now. But then we're going to dive down a little bit in this chapter in 30. We're going to look at that in a little more depth. But right now, look at chapter 31 as you hold your place in 30. Listen to verse 6. This is Moses speaking to the people in verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a great promise for His people today, for you and me today. And then look at chapter 32, verses 3 and 4. This is Moses' song that he's reciting here to the people of Israel. And he says in verse 3 and 4, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. And then in chapter 5 of Acts, turn over to our New Testament readings. And in the New Testament, that's the last third of the Bible there. If you're new at this, you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you want Acts chapter 5. And in Acts chapter 5, listen to these first few verses. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. And a thing that always stands out to me in that passage is that the Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. We see right there that the words are used interchangeably. He's lied to the Holy Spirit. And then just a little bit later, it says, you've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God. And then in chapter 6, look at these verse 2 and verse 3. Here's how the deacon ministry was born. A lot of churches today have deacons. Here's how the deacon ministry was born. Verse 2 and 3. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And then over in Psalms, we'll look at Psalms. That's kind of in the middle of the Bible. And then you turn back a little bit. You don't have to turn there. You can just listen if you'd like. I'll get there before you. But Psalms 94, verse 8 and 9. God tells us this in His Word. Take heed, you senseless ones among the people, you fools. When will you become wise? Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? And then in chapter 95, verse 8, in the first part, verse 8a, and this is a great word for each of us here today. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah. And he goes on from there. Well, let's turn back to Deuteronomy 30. Look with me at Deuteronomy 30. Let's dive down a little bit here. Choices. We make so many of them. Let's pray. That's a choice I want to make right now. Father, we just come to You and thank You for Your Word, Lord. It is living and active, Lord. We hear Your voice through Your Word. When Scripture speaks, You speak. You've told us that. And so, Lord, we pray that everything You've just told us from the reading of Your Word, You would seal in our hearts and we would obey it and do it. And Lord, right now, please get me out of the way. We need to hear Your Word again, Lord. Let us hear Your message to each of us so that we may go and do that. We pray these things in Your name, Jesus. Amen. So many choices. You know, you wake up in the morning and you're confronted with a choice. The alarm clock goes off. I don't know what time it goes. Maybe it goes off in the 5 o'clock hour. The alarm clock goes off and then you have a choice. You either get right up and you go through that. Sometimes that pain of discipline is better than the pain of regret. And so you get right up, or maybe you hit the snooze button. You got a choice. Well, so you got right up and then you get up and you get out of the bed and I don't know what the next thing is for you, but you probably got your routine. And then you make another decision. Am I going to follow the routine this morning and just kind of go through the motions? Or am I going to change things up a little bit this morning? Maybe go do this first. You got a choice. And maybe you choose to go through your routine. And so you go to the closet and you choose some pants. You get those on. You choose a shirt. And you put that on. Eventually, at some point, you maybe come into the kitchen and you look for something to eat before you head out. And you've got another choice. There's the oatmeal, or there's the banana, or there's the being healthier. You also remember that in about 30 minutes you're supposed to be at a meeting and they're going to have donuts there. And then you have to choose, do I be healthy or do I just go for the donuts? Choice after choice after choice. But the most important choice that you or I will ever make, one choice that surpasses them all, as a human being, that you will have to make and that I will have to make, is the choice of life or death. We all have to make that one important choice. And that choice does extend down. Once we choose that, it can that choice right there can cover all the rest of our choices. And then we can experience, once we've made that choice, we can experience a whole life of little bitty choices that are all kind of life and death type choices. Let me tell you what I mean. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God's covenant here is God is going over the covenant with His people. And at this point in the covenant, God is talking about blessings and curses. And He tells us how to have life and blessing. And He tells us the choice is ours. Look at Deuteronomy 30. Let's look at verses 11 to 20. God tells us this in His Word. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, in this, the largest decision ever, choose life or death, blessings or curses. And it's really in every little decision in life we can choose God's way or some other way. Life or death is some other way other than God. God is life. Jesus is life. And so, know first of all, as we look at this passage of Scripture, the first thing we need to realize and know from this passage is God's best is near you. God's best is near you. What He wants for you, His best that He has stored up for you, His best for you is near you. We see that in 11 through 14. He says, now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's near you. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? And so, it is near you. Well, what is it? God's best is near you. What is it? The full life, the abundant life. Some people call it fulfillment. I'm finding fulfillment in life. God's best. God says it's near you. You don't have to like go up in heaven looking for it. And then he says in verse 13, nor is it beyond the sea. You don't have to go way out to California and try to find it. You're trying to find peace and fulfillment, and you're trying to find what you're here for, and you're trying to find true life, abundant life. That fulfillment, and you don't have to go anywhere else. Travel somewhere to see if you can find it, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? God says in verse 14, no, the word is very near you. You don't have to go anywhere for God's best, for the ultimate in life. You don't have to go anywhere. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth. That's how close it is to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. God's best is so near you. And yet the world searches diligently for it, for fulfillment, peace in life, the full life. The world searches high and low, doesn't it? Diligently for it. Though they don't even realize what they're searching for. People, everybody is looking for peace and contentment and fulfillment. And they don't even realize what the answer is or how near it is. And people, the world goes searching everywhere. We go to self-help books and we look for it. And we go to TV shows and we go to Dr. Phil and Oprah. I'm not knocking them. But we go to every place we can find. We might go to our own doctor or psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever, And we go there. Sometimes we go to relationships and we say, well, maybe I'll find it in this relationship with this person. And then it fails and it wasn't there. And then we go to the next relationship. Sometimes we look in relationships. Sometimes we look for it in our next fix. Maybe I'll find it there at least for a few moments, or maybe even in religion. If I get real religious, if I follow a religion, maybe I'll find it. And so we look everywhere for it. But it's never to be found in all of these places. One thing that really stood out to me when I was in college, before the Lord kind of got me to a point of surrender, I loved this band Nirvana. And the lead singer was Kurt Cobain. And you know, he had everything that the world has to offer. If anybody's looking for fulfillment or peace or whatever to get that ultimate full life, he had it. He had wealth and fame and he had, if you're looking for it in marriage, he was married, he had children, he had, if you're looking for that rock star lifestyle, he had relationships, probably, you know, that was available to him. Whatever, he had drugs, he had alcohol, he had whatever the world has to offer. Kurt Cobain had it, but the tragic end was he took his own life, and he shot himself in the head. And I mean, that right there just tells me, maybe it tells you, that you don't find it anywhere in the world. Life, true life, fulfillment, it's not found there. Someone has said, our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. Someone else has said, we all have a God-shaped hole inside of us. No matter where we turn, God will not let us be fulfilled or satisfied or happy with something. We won't find life anywhere until we look to Him. He reserves that God-shaped hole for Himself. He is your life. He wants to be the one that brings you fulfillment in all that you're looking for. He is it. Chris sang about that hole a little bit, and that being empty. God is the only thing that fits that place. It's a place made for Him. And you know what the good news is? He wants you to have it. He wants you to have it. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came that you may have it. And it's in Him. And it is Him. Remember the two different times He said, I am the life. I'm what you're looking for. So, stop looking. It's right in front of you. You may have already missed it and looked over it. Maybe when you were a child, you had a relationship with the Lord, or you thought you did or something, and maybe somehow you've gone way away from that and somehow you've overlooked it or you've missed it. Or maybe you never had it. You can grow up in the church. You can be baptized at an early age and be in the church every time the doors are open and be great at following religion, but not have Jesus, have a relationship with Him, surrendered to Him, allowing Him to be Lord and fill that place. And so God's best is near you. Secondly, but the choice is yours. God's best is near you. You don't have to search for it, but the choice is yours. In verses 15 to 18, we see that. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. There's one way. The choice is yours. The other way starts in verse 17. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. The choice is yours. You choose. And what are the action words? What's the choice of life? Did you catch it? It's right there. It was love the Lord your God, walk in His ways. Three things are mentioned right there. Love the Lord your God, walk in His ways, keep His commands. That's pretty simple. That's life. That's where you'll find life. And you will live. Or you can... Now look at these action words. What is it? What is it if you want death? If you want the opposite, if you want pain and sorrow and destruction, and if you want to be depressed, and here's that way. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient and drawn away to bow down to other gods, you'll be destroyed. So how does it play out? What does that look like? What does it look like? Well, let's say maybe... Maybe it's a relationship. Let's say you're tempted to go and live with your boyfriend. And you think everything will work out well there financially. It would be good. It'd be good for the kids. It would whatever. Let's say that's your temptation. But in your heart, which is it's very near you, His word is very near you, and it's right here in His word and in your heart. You can either love the Lord your God and you can walk in His ways and keep His commands. And of course, your choice will be made. Or you could let your heart turn away. And maybe something inside of you is saying, oh, no, don't do that. Don't go live with Him. You're not married. But you could turn away from what you're hearing. And you could not be obedient. And you could be drawn away. It's all right here in verse 17. Or you could be drawn away to bow down to other gods. What do you mean bow down to other gods? Well, anything we put in that God-shaped hole, God is supposed to be Lord over our lives. We're to be surrendered to Him. Anything else that we obey more than Him, like, you know, well, I'm just going to set all this aside. I am going to go live with Him. Well, that's become my God. I put God aside and I'm valuing this more than Him because I'm choosing to disobey. I'm choosing to go after this thinking, this little God with a little g. We have a lot of little gods. Anything we go after that takes His place, where we say, no, God, not you. I'm going to disobey you. I'm going to do this. That's another God. We've created another God. We're giving our devotion and attention to something else other than Him and putting Him on the back burner. So it could work like that. Or maybe it's something at school. Maybe there's a temptation. Maybe it's you have a relationship at school, and maybe somebody wants you to do something at school. Or maybe there's some answers on a test or whatever, and you know what your heart is telling you. You know what the Lord is saying. You can either walk in His ways, keep His commands, and live, or you could turn away. And you cannot be obedient. You can be drawn away and you can go after some other God. In other words, you can go that way. Or maybe it can be as simple as just a simple decision you make. Yesterday, as our baseball team finished, I thought about, had a little something in my heart. Maybe we should say a prayer together, our baseball team. Well, right, it can be as little as that. A simple thing. Well, you know, is that something the Lord is impressing on my heart? Well, I can walk in His ways, keep His commands, and live. Or I can turn away. I can say, oh, no, you know what? Some of the parents might get mad, and, you know, this could happen or that. Or I could turn away and not be obedient and be drawn away to bow down to other gods. You know, well, you know, I care more about what these other parents think than, you know, well, now all of a sudden they're my little gods, you know, rather than if the Lord is telling me to do something. And so the choice is yours. God's best is near you, but the choice is yours. And finally, so choose life. Choose life. We see that in verse 19 and 20. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so choose life. We see that in verse 19. Because of verse 19, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death. That's God's word. God speaks through His word. And so today we can look at that. You can look at that verse today and hear this message today. And you can know that you have heard the truth this morning. You can know that you've heard the truth this morning. God has set before you life and death this morning. What will you do with it? 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 What will I do with it? So how do you do it? How do you choose life? Where does it begin? Right there in 20b. For the Lord is your life. That's how you choose life. You choose Him. He is your life. For the Lord is your life. You choose Him. You repent. That means you turn from yourself and your ways, your thinking about how things are and how life should operate. You turn away from yourself and your thinking because we're flawed, sinful human beings. The Bible says we have a sinful nature and that our natural bent, our way is sinful. And so you turn from yourself and sin and you turn to Him and His way and what He says. And you choose Him. Let's pray together. Father, we just come to you right now. And Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning, Lord, that knows after hearing your word this morning, maybe there's someone that you're speaking to about your best being near them and the choice being yours. And Lord, maybe they want to choose life this morning. Lord, we know from your word that it all begins with you, Jesus. And so, Lord, help that person, help anyone here today that wants to choose life to say to you right now, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Your word says the penalty for my sin is death and hell. But, Lord, I know you're the life. I know you came to give me life. And, Lord, you don't want me to face that penalty of death and hell. And so you came to rescue me, and I believe you went to the cross. And you took all of my sins upon you, and you took my punishment. And I believe you're raised from the dead. And so I come to you for life this morning. Lord, I repent. I turn from myself and sin. And I choose you, Jesus. I turn to you. And I put all my faith in you. And I trust you and you alone to save me from my sins. Save me, Jesus. I give my life to you. I choose you. I choose life. Help me to follow you all of my days. And Lord, for those of us that already know you, may we choose you, Jesus, in every decision. Once we know you, we still have a choice. We can either choose you, life, or we can go our own way, even as a believer. So help each of us, Lord, to choose life. Follow you, Jesus. Help us. Lord, if there are any that need to join this church this morning, Lord, I pray that they would hear your voice and that they would come. And any who have made that decision to choose you as for life, to give their lives to you, Lord, may they come during this song of invitation, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If God's speaking something to your heart, then you come and you share that as Chris leads us in this song.